Support for this podcast comes from Goldman Sachs. What do Goldman Sachs experts and leading thinkers have to say about trends shaping markets, industries, and the global economy? Stay informed with the latest insights from Goldman Sachs on the economic and market implications of COVID-19, available on our podcasts at gs.com/COVID-19 or any of your favorite podcast platforms.
We forgot how to be human beings to one another.
Yeah.
So and Dan, it's ridiculous.
It is, buddy, and I completely agree with you, Dan.
I don't want to share someone else's thoughts. I want to create my own original thoughts. I want to create my own original solutions. I want to look at situations and come up with my own phrasing, my own words, and do it my way.
This is the John Taffer Podcast.
Shut it down!
Well, here we go, Corey. We are back. Thank you for listening. I'm John Taffer. This is the John Taffer Podcast, and like all of you, we're sitting and watching our phones and watching our TVs and our tablets, and we're all wondering what's going to happen with the presidential election. And at this point in time, Corey, I think that the world isn't going to end either way.
No.
And you know, when we think about where we're politically at, I think this is an opportunity for America. And let me say what I mean. You know, when you look at had Biden or the Democrats won the presidency, the Senate, and the House, things could have moved very quickly and maybe a little more farther to the left than a lot of Americans would want. Mm-hmm. And I think 10 or 15% of either side is a little extreme, right? And I don't think most Americans want either of those extremes to be in place here. But the fact that the Senate sits with the Republicans, and assuming Biden wins the presidency, there's a reason for both to cross the aisle now, isn't there?
Yeah.
And when the founding fathers created the Senate, the whole purpose of the Senate was to slow things down. Take a deep breath, slow it down. The Senate doesn't.
Think about this.
Yeah, the Senate doesn't meet as often, and it's more of a deliberative, slower moving body. So when you think about it, and if you look over history, when the Senate was controlled by one side and the White House controlled by another, deals started to be made, and they started to become a little more bipartisan, and they started to work together more. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a scenario for divisiveness to sort of end a little bit. So, you know, in as much as Republicans might say to me, John, you're crazy. How can you say that this is a good... I'm not suggesting that Republicans are happy not having the White House, and I'm not suggesting that Democrats are happy not having the Senate. I get all that. But as Americans, this might be sort of what we need right now. This might be an opportunity for the two sides to come together because nothing's going to get done if they don't. Yeah. So maybe the fighting and the bickering and the tweeting and maybe all that stuff ends, and maybe there's an opportunity to come together now. And that's what I'm sort of hoping happens. And I sort of feel that in the air a little bit. And I'm feeling that there's a sigh of relief that this finally could be over, Corey. And that the campaigning could be done for a while. And, you know, all the tweeting and all the negatives and, you know, all the shut up mans and all the nasty tweets. And I'm trying to pick stuff from both sides so I can be neutral here. And all of this stuff, it's time for it to frickin' end now. So maybe we can all take a deep breath. Maybe we can be glad that this is behind us. But here's what I hope, Corey. I think it's critical to put this behind us, that whoever wins the White House, that there's no doubt about the process. So if you're President Biden and you lose, Vice President Biden and you lose, you need to know that you lost fairly. And if you're President Trump and you lose, same thing. And if you're Joe Biden and you win the presidency, you should want to know that you won it fairly.
Right.
So I think it's important for all Americans that if there's any recalls called, that we agree with that. Because all a recall vote is going to do is just make it certain for all parties involved. If this election ends with certainty, let's look at what happened. Joe Biden right now is sitting with about 50.5% of the popular vote. Corey, not 60, not 70, 50.5%. So if conservatives or those who oppose Democratic agendas, manifestos, whatever the hell you want to call them, you have to say, wow, that's half the country. Right. Half the country is not crazy. Mm-hmm. Half the country is a view I should respect. Joe Biden got 50.5% of the vote. So to suggest if you're on the other side that his policies are absurd and not in tune with America. That's just not reasonable. Let's go to the other side. President Trump got more votes than he did last time. Last I looked, it was about 67 million or so. Yeah. He, too, got about 48, 49% of the popular vote. Again, it's not over yet. I'm guessing at final numbers. He, too, if you're on a Democratic side, you can't say, well, you know, those people on the other side. It's not a minority. It's not a small group. The fact of the matter is America is very closely split. Look at this. It's 2 days after the election. We still don't know who won the White House.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a country that's split. Look at the states that it's coming down to. It's thousands of votes, Corey. Right now, Vegas might determine the presidency, and there's, I think, 8,000 votes separating the two of them. Yeah. So this is coming down to really just a few thousand people determining the fate of America, which means whatever side you're on, it's time to respect the size and magnitude of the other side. And that, to me, is, again, a formula to start to break down divisiveness. So for people on the liberal anti-Trump side of the fence to say that Trump supporters are crazy, well, half of America is not crazy. That's just not fair, guys. And for anybody on the conservative side to say the same thing, guys, that's 50.5% of America, that's just not freaking reasonable. So if you look at that, there's a reason to come together, isn't there? There's a reason to have respect for the other side again, isn't there? Because no side is meaningless in this. No side is minuscule. No side is that much smaller than the other side that it's worthy of disrespect or insult. So this is the time to say, wow, look at the other side. Look at the amount of votes they got. That's a big piece of America. Maybe I should treat that big piece of America with respect online. Maybe I should stop insulting them the way that I did. And if you're on the other side, I say the same thing. There's no sides in this discussion at all. The point is, you don't hate half the country. You just don't do that. So when you look at the fact that we might have divided government, Democratic White House, Republican Senate, I see some peace and a lack of divisiveness in that. When you think about the fact that half of the country, give or take a point or two, voted for both sides, and that it's coming down to a few thousand votes in a few states, then it's reasonable to respect the other side again and not to trivialize either side or either position. So when you think about that, Corey, I think that we're looking at an opportunity these next few weeks. I support revotes or anything that needs to do to close the door on this thing so that the election is considered legitimate no matter who wins and we all can freaking move on and now say, wow, we got mixed government. We got a chance there. We respect the other side. We got a chance there. This could be a really good moment if we all look at it right.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the same time all this is going on, Corey, we're close to ending the pandemic. And that's pretty powerful, too, when you think about the fact that Dr. Fauci just a few days ago said that by the end of the year, everybody at risk will be vaccinated. And I know from my hospital board meeting that by January, we'll almost all be safe. So think about this. We have a chance to break down political divisiveness. We have a chance to stop the divisiveness with each other. We have a chance to really end COVID in the next 2 months or so with the vaccine, which is really, really powerful. And all of these small businesses that are now getting ready and saying, wow, okay, numbers are terrible right now. It's gloomy. But the fact of the matter is there's a vaccine on the horizon and it's close and there's three different ones and everybody says it's coming and it is. So if you're one of those people who have said during these past months, listen to the science, listen to the science, listen to the science. And so many of you have said that. Listen to the science, wear masks. Listen to the science, don't wear a mask. Listen to the science. Well, this is the time to listen to the science when the vaccine comes. And when you see the scientists taking the vaccine and their families taking the vaccine, and you see all the laboratories and unbelievable pharmaceutical companies that have signed off on a vaccine, my guess is you'll probably take the vaccine too. So, those of you who watch me on TV and know me know that I'm a nutcase when it comes to quality food service and training. So what we did is we worked in test kitchens for 2 years creating the food. You know, I know the food is great. We've tested it and done all that. We've done the same with the beverages. The cocktail program was created by myself and Phil Wills, who you all know from Bar Rescue, and they're pretty incredible. And I'm guessing there's a lot of photographs online if you guys look up Taffer's Tavern and such. So we're really excited about that. And the restaurant is beautiful. I mean, we're really thrilled with the way it looks. The interior is a home run. People love it. You can see some pictures as well if you look online or on social. And, you know, now you worry about the human factor, the training and all of those things. But I've got to tell you, Corey, it's been a major home run. Listen to this. The website went up last week, Corey, and within the first 3 hours, we had 800 reservations.
Jeez.
So we sold out the first almost four weekends.
Right. And not technically the grand opening, right?
It's not. We're still in training mode. Yeah. So we're still previewing. We might even change a plate presentation here and there, Corey. You know, we're honing some of our technology and some of our systems. And, and you know, we're not rushing to do it. And things take longer in a COVID day anyway. I mean, everything you do takes longer during COVID. So it's just really exciting to see the reaction in the marketplace. The restaurant is packed all the time. And we're not even open yet. So those of you interested in Taffer's Tavern, check it out online. You can go to tafferstavern.com as well. There's cool pictures and menus. And if those of you in the area want reservations, try to do it quickly because we are selling out ahead of time. But it's a really, really exciting time. And I have a really cool announcement to make, Corey. And I'll make an official announcement and we'll get to post some pictures soon.
Okay.
But we are entering the frozen food business.
Oh, okay.
And we're introducing a whole new line of Taffer's Tavern frozen foods. And some of them are actually recipes from the tavern. Some are not. Some are really specialty family size items and such. Mm-hmm. And we're excited. We'll be in stores soon, and we'll show you that package so everybody can see what they're looking for. We'll post that in the next week or two when we make our official announcement. But those of you who listen to the podcast often get to hear things sooner than other people because I'm not so disciplined about keeping my mouth shut. I'm
right. Yeah, man. We're not too good at it.
So now we got our seltzers going. We got our mixers going, which is still doing great. We've got our frozen food line introducing in several weeks. Taffer's Tavern is now up and running. Mm-hmm. And we are busy as hell here.
It's boomtown, John.
It is boomtown. But I got to tell you, buddy, at this time, I am so interested in hearing from our listeners. I want to talk about ending divisiveness. I want to talk about the things that we can do to reach out to each other, reach out to family members. How do we put down those verbal weapons now? And can we embrace this moment? Because we have a limited time, Corey. We have a window here of opportunity to change this pattern that we've all been in. So I'm curious to hear your opinion. A, are you willing to change the pattern? Or B, how are you going to change the pattern? But that's what I want to talk about. When I come back, I'm giving the microphone to you guys. We'll do audience call-ins.
Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
Alrighty, I'm back. I'm John Taffer, and we were talking about your opinion and the fact that there's a window of opportunity now post-election. We can all take a deep breath and maybe stop fighting with each other so much. So is this an opportunity now to end divisiveness? So I'm curious, are you guys going to reach out to friends who you've had discussions or separation of family members that you've had issues with politically? Are you into the whole, this is over, let's break down the divisiveness? Were you still in that divisiveness mode? I want to hear what you guys think. So, Corey, you lined up a bunch of callers. I understand this is one of our biggest online responses to a question we've ever had.
Absolutely. I think everybody's ready to just get rid of all this divisiveness.
Yeah, that's good to hear, buddy, because I'm ready too. So who's our first caller?
All right, this is going to be Dan, and he's from Rocky Hill, Connecticut.
All righty, Dan. So let's just, before I even pull Dan on a call, let's note that Connecticut is a Biden state. On the East Coast, so it tends to be a more liberally viewed right. state. So being a bipartisan and non-political here, I'm interested to hear what Dan's view is from Connecticut.
Hello?
Dan, John Taffer here.
John Taffer, it's an honor and a pleasure.
It's my honor too, buddy. Nice to talk with you.
So nice to talk to you as well.
So are you in Connecticut now as we speak?
Yes, yes I am.
Gotcha. Well, I've had a lot of family in Stamford, and I've spent a lot of time in Westport, and I love your state, buddy. It's a beautiful state.
Thank you.
And that whole area of the country is actually beautiful. Dan, we've been talking about this whole issue of divisiveness on the podcast, and you know, I think that now with the election over, no matter who wins the White House, with the Senate in one hands of one party and maybe the White House in the hands of another party, I'm sensing that this might be a time for us to sort of end divisiveness a little bit and post-election. And I'm curious, you know, you're in Connecticut, and what? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling right now? I mean, let's assume Biden wins, or let's assume Trump wins, and let's assume either way that the election is clean, that there's no recount BS. You know, let's assume that the election is over, and yep. You feel good that it's a fair election. What are you feeling after that, Dan? Is this the time to stop the divisiveness or not? Are you still feeling that divisive attitude?
I think it's time to put a stop to it. Enough's enough. I mean, you know, I sit back and I look at the grand scheme of things, and we have just become a nation that is so obsessed with red, blue, left, right, Republican, you know, Democratic. Enough's enough. Look, if Biden wins, you know, at the end of the day, I live here. I don't want the president to fail. If he fails, we all fail. I want him to succeed. He may not be my ideal choice, but that doesn't mean I don't want the man to fail, because then we all fail. You know, we're in this together. And I really think it's time to stop the fighting, to stop the hate. I mean, somewhere along the way, we became so obsessed with politics that we forgot how to be human beings to one another.
Yeah.
So, and it's ridiculous.
It is, buddy. And I completely agree with you, Dan. So what do you do as an individual to make that happen? I'm guessing, because we all do, I'm guessing you have friends that you've had some political disagreements over the past few months, maybe some family members you've had. Do we reach out to each other now? What do you do, Dan, in your little world right around you to change this?
I definitely want to reach out to friends and family members that have had differences with me with political views in the past. There's no reason we cannot be friends. There's no reason we cannot still love our family members. You know, we need to come together. We're all struggling right now. We're dealing with a pandemic that is gripping this country and the world. And, you know, it's looking like it's not going to get any easier anytime soon. 2020 has been such an insane year. You know, it's time to put our differences to the side, find some common ground, and be united again and work together to make a better America for all of us.
Dan, I think I could not have said it better, buddy. I'm with you 100%. So the second line of what you're saying, and I know we agree on this together, is it's now up to us to be proactive as individuals, to reach out to somebody we've had an argument with, to maybe change our attitudes online, right? And to be proactive ourselves individually to move this dynamic in each of our own worlds. And then we can change it for everyone. I'm sure you agree with that, buddy.
I agree. Yeah. I agree completely. The change starts with us. We have to be better. We have to do better. We need to act better. This lashing out at one another and, you know, you're wrong because you don't agree with me. And, well, that's my opinion. And you don't agree with me, so I don't want to hear what you have to say. That has to stop. We need to find some common ground. It's too much.
And the fact that the election was so strong on both sides, you know, Trump got more votes than he did last time, 67 million. And Joe Biden winning by about 3 million votes or so, which is substantial. Don't get me wrong. I'm not denying that. But he still only polled in 50.5% of America. So my point is that both sides are half of America. So to diminish the other side and to suggest that they're meaningless or trivial or insignificant just isn't smart when we look at this election. So there's a great reason for us to come together, because it isn't a small minority that feels one way or another. It's half the country that feels one way or the other. So I'm with you, buddy. So I'm going to go out and make a few calls, reach out to some friends today. Will you do the same?
I definitely will, John. And I want to say before you let me go, your interview with Trump was fantastic. And John, I would love if you ran for office. I really think the country needs you.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that, buddy. Well, we'll see how that goes. But I appreciate you saying it to me. And take care. Stay safe.
You too, John. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Well, Corey, that couldn't have been a more perfect call. So think about where Dan is. Dan's in a liberal area of the country. And he completely agrees. It's time. It's enough, boy. Aren't you tired of this?
I'm done. I'm done, John.
Yeah, I'm fatigued to hell from all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I agree with Dan. I think that was a great attitude. Okay, so Dan was in Connecticut. Let's go to the other side of the country, to a more conservative type of a state. And let's see, you know, what the opinion is there. So do we have any callers from Texas?
We do. Let's jump over to Chris. He's in Amarillo, Texas.
Perfect.
This is Chris.
Chris, John Taffer here.
Hi, thanks for reaching out.
My pleasure. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thanks. So, Chris, you're in Amarillo, Texas, which I've been to many times. I forget the interstate that goes through Amarillo. Is it 40?
40 and 27, but 40 is the one that is nationwide.
Yep, I'll be there in a couple of days, buddy. On my way to Alpharetta, Georgia, I'll be driving through Amarillo. But it's a wonderful part of America. It's, you know, a patriotic red, white, and blue Texas all America, you know, part of the country. Chris, we were talking on a podcast today, and I'm really curious to hear your opinion about, you know, now that the election is, let's pretend for a moment, Chris, that the election was over. And let's pretend for a moment. Let's pretend for a moment that either Biden or Trump wins the White House for just a moment. And let's assume that the Republicans keep the Senate for just a moment. And let's assume that the election ends and that we feel good about it. We don't feel there's any cheating. The election has been recounts or whatever. It's now clean. And we feel good about it. And we're now the election is behind us. Do you see this as an opportunity to end divisiveness between us all now?
It leaves you an certainly an opportunity to do so. I think what you're proposing is something that is not going to happen in 2020 or even moving forward into the future. And that even includes someone like myself. I mean, I think there's just blatant cheating in what's going on right now. And me personally, I'm just thankful that AOC isn't 35 years old because it would have been a much different race.
So let's assume for a moment that you felt that and look, there's a lot of people that have your position. I try to be non-political, buddy, on this podcast, but I agree with you that there's very suspect activities in some of these states, and I agree that every American should know that their vote counted and that a non-legitimate vote did not, because every non-legitimate vote cancels out your vote, right, Chris? So that's completely unreasonable. So I think every American wants to know that every legal ballot is counted and that every illegal ballot is not. And I'd be shocked to hear any American publicly suggest that they wanted anything. Let's assume for a moment, Chris, that that did happen. And let's assume for a moment Trump wins the White House. And the election is clean. Is that an opportunity to end divisiveness?
Again, it's an opportunity, but just with what I've seen year to date, not even really year to date, but let's call it since St. Patrick's Day, the other side, I mean, they're just not going to open up to that. They not only don't want four more years of Trump, you know, they're just demanding that their side go ahead and win. I mean, so to answer the question, it's an opportunity, but I just don't see how that's ever going to happen.
I find your view interesting, and I think it's a view that's very typical of your part of the country, because it's interesting how it skews part of the country. Let me flip it on you for a moment.
Chris. Can I add one thing real quick?
Sure.
I live in Amarillo. I've lived in Amarillo on and off for almost 10 years, but I went to college in Nebraska. I lived in Atlanta for 5 years. I love Alpharetta, by the way.
Thank you.
And I lived in Denver for several years. The best financial times of my career have been in blue states. But and I live in Amarillo for a different career opportunity than I have now. But, you know, I've lived in blue states. I've lived in red. And I plan on spending the rest or the bulk of my career in Amarillo moving forward. But I just wanted to give you that before you moved on to your next point.
Gotcha. Let's assume for a moment that Biden wins. So Biden has the White House, okay, and the Republicans have the Senate. Now, I've read and done a bunch of homework on this. You know, when the Senate is in the hand of one party and the presidency is in the hand of another party, it tends to force them to work with the other side versus being on one party, right? So having a Republican Senate and a Republican presidency could move it a little farther right than many Americans like, and the same thing if we had a liberal president and liberal Senate. So let's assume that we have divided government now. Just play with me for a second, Chris. We have a Republican Senate, sure, Democratic president. And let's assume for the moment Biden gives a speech and says, I'm going to go to the other side. This is a chance to be bipartisan. Let's forgive each other. Let's move forward. Would you have an open mind to that?
I would have. I can sit here and say I would. I can't believe everybody under Biden. And I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I don't think Biden will be president come March 1st. If he's deemed winner and he's sworn in January 20th, they will find him mentally incompetent, and he'll be out of there in a matter of weeks.
So, in essence, and this is very powerful, Chris, because I think there's many, many, many Americans who feel like you do. So what you're saying is over these past 6 or 7 months, you've lost trust for the other side to the point that it's going to take them time to rebuild that trust with you. So you are very skeptical. Fair?
Oh, absolutely fair. I mean, the moment the bricks started hitting the buildings and people started rioting, and you have major media outlets, and I'm not going to name anybody, who are calling that peaceful protest. I mean, it's going to take more than 4 years. Even if it's 4 years that somewhat mirrors what Trump was able to accomplish in terms of bringing back the economy and many other things Trump has brought back, I would still be skeptical. And it would take a hell of a lot more than even what Trump did for me to even think about voting for them in 2024.
Well, I appreciate your opinion. I respect it hugely. And I think it's wonderful that you've shared it with all of us, Chris, because I think there's a lot of Americans that feel the way that you do. And it's going to take some time to rebuild that trust back. And it's not only up to the politicians to do it, it's up to each of us to do it now, you know, and try to find reasons in each other.
And I understand that. It's just for me, the rare blue voters out in here in Potter County and here in Amarillo, they're just so outspoken. And to me, they don't have facts when they're trying to debate. They want to get into an argument, but then they don't bring anything to the table. So it's hard to even try and see eye to eye with them. So that's just what I've kind of run into over these last 7-8 months. And the world's completely changed.
So there we go, Chris. So I appreciate your view, buddy, and thanks for reaching out to the podcast. And
absolutely.
And stay safe, my friend.
You too, John.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Nasir Khoury, isn't that fascinating? That's a completely different view.
Yeah.
So here is obviously a conservative, by the things that he said, it wasn't hard to see that, who feels that he just won't trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's looking at some of the riots in the cities, and he's... I can understand, I don't necessarily agree with him, but I can understand how he feels that way.
And some people they're broken. They can't take it anymore, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, Khoury, when I saw the other day, I'm watching the news, and I forget if I was watching CNN, or I watched them all, by the way. I watch CNN, MSNBC, and mm-hmm. Fox News, because I want to make certain I want to make certain I'm not slanted in what I hear, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel if I can mix what comes into my brain, I can mix what comes out of my brain.
Right.
So and I was looking at all of these cities that are boarded up because of the election.
Yeah.
In anticipation of riots. That's horrible. When you think that here in America, not only do we have riots, but we anticipate them, we expect them to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that premise in and of itself, to expect a riot, is horrifying. So I understand that that has had a huge impact on Chris in Texas. Mm-hmm. I get it. His conservative views, law and order, blah, 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 blah. I get it. He's like besides himself over this. I get it. But, you know, when you look at Dan in Connecticut, I get his view, too.
Right.
His view is, you know, it is what it is. It's time to move on. You know, and then you wonder if Dan's view of moving on now, would that end the violence sooner? And then would Chris come on board? Mm-hmm. So is Dan the first step, the guy who's going to reach out now? And then is Chris the second step, almost say, I want to see a little bit, and then I'll maybe come on board too. But it's fascinating. Two Americans, two sides of the country, two completely different views.
Yeah.
Okay, so we hit Connecticut, got one view, went to Texas, got another view. Let's pick a country, a state in the center. How about Missouri?
Great, John. Yeah, we got looks like Sherry from Pilot Grove, Missouri.
Sherry from Pilot Grove, Missouri.
Hello?
Sherry, John Taffer here.
Oh, my God. Hello.
Did I catch you by surprise? You sort of paused there for a second.
No, it just actually kind of surprised me that it was actually you calling.
Well, it is. It's me. So nice to talk with you, Sherry.
Oh, my God.
Nice to talk to you. And so,
nice to talk to you.
So you're in Pilot Grove, Missouri. And and I want to hear your opinion on a couple of things, if you could, for a second. So let me update you here. So I've been taking calls around the country. I took one from Connecticut. I took one from Texas. And now I wanted to do one from the middle of the country. And that's you in Missouri. And my question is this. Let's assume that the election ends the next day or so. And let's assume that it ends and is we don't need recounts. Everybody feels it was honest and it's over. Doesn't matter which side wins. Do you think this is the time for political divisiveness to end? Do you see an opportunity now, Sherry, for this political divisiveness to end once this election is over? Or do you sense that it's going to continue?
Unfortunately, I think it's going to continue because there's so many people on either side that just hate either side.
And you think
I mean, I see it.
Go ahead, please finish.
I see it every day on my Facebook between friends, and it's so disheartening to see the way friends on any other year would talk to each other, and then right now with this going on, they're just so rude and hateful and basically unfriending themselves with each other just because of political party.
Crazy. Do you have any family members that you've had any falling out with over politics?
No.
Well, that good for you. I because I have a couple, and that's pretty powerful too. You know, politics are getting in the middle of families also, which is incredible. Brothers and sisters and parents aren't talking, and so let's say for a moment, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's say for a moment, Biden wins the White House. Or Trump wins the White House. Do you see a greater opportunity to end divisiveness with one or the other? And I'm making you be non-political. I'm talking about environmentally more than politically.
Environmentally? I don't know. I've seen so much from the Biden side that I just really, I don't know.
So,
I've seen so much on the Democratic side that it's horrible.
So is this fair then? I'm guessing you're on the conservative side of this then. Is that fair? Can I ask you that question? So that said, have you lost trust in the other side? What is it that's not allowing you to open yourself up again? Because you're not opening yourself up. You've closed yourself off to them. And I get it. A lot of us have. I'm not picking on you at all, Sherry. I'm just trying to have us all sort of understand it. Is it a lack of trust that is making you stop communicating with them and breaking this stuff off? Is it anger? What is it?
I think it's a lot when we see the like live feeds and stuff from the House and how they react towards and how they've reacted towards Trump in the past. It's like, just sit there and listen. Listen to what the man has to say. You may not have to like him, but just listen to him. Don't have that view of disgust on your face for the whole entire country to see.
You know, I don't know if you know this, Sherry. I interviewed President Trump last week. And the interview is on.
Yes, I saw some of it.
And I must tell you, that look, I read the tweets like everyone else, and I understand there's parts of Donald Trump that are very unlikable to a lot of people. I get that. And I get that a lot of people feel he's disrespectful and insulting, and I get all that because I have felt that way myself. But I must tell you, and I'm sitting here with Corey, who is my producer. Corey and I have been together for years. Corey, how old are you? So everybody knows?
I'm 25.
You're 25 years old.
Yep.
You and I got to meet the President of the United States last week, right?
Yeah, we did.
We went to the hotel. You mic'd them up.
I did, yeah.
You produced the interview. That was all produced by us, not by the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Was he nice?
He made sure he went around the room and made everybody feel like, you know, he acknowledged them.
Yeah.
You know.
What did he say about you?
Oh, I mean, everybody tells me, John, you know, I'm handsome.
Yeah. So you know what's interesting, Sherry, is my point is when you meet him and you sit with him, he's so personable. When he looks in your eyes, you can see he really cares. He's truly a nice guy. I'd love to have dinner with him. I bet you would too, Corey.
Right. He's probably really got some stories.
Unbelievably gracious and kind and communicative and honest and spirited. So it's a shame because all that stuff you're talking about, Sherry, gets in the way of that. And we've never had a chance to know him. All we've ever seen is Trump with his boxing gloves on. Nobody's ever seen Trump with his boxing gloves off. And that's sort of unfortunate.
Right.
And I hear you. So your view is we got a ways to go, no matter what happens in the election.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing
and
your
opinion. I'm almost 50 years old, and I've seen a lot of stuff, and this is just horrible. Like I said, it's really disheartening to see how everybody's treating each other.
It is. Well, maybe if you and I know I'm going to reach out to some friends after this election and try to make amends with a few of them. Is that something that you would maybe do?
Oh, yeah.
Good, good. Well, maybe if we all take a couple of steps, we can make a difference, right?
Oh, yeah. Luckily, I don't care who anybody votes for. I'm friends with them regardless.
That's the way it should be. Thank you, Sherry. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Interesting, Corey. So again, the states seem to be flowing down political lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, I'm surprised by this a little bit, there seems to be a little more anger on the right side of the line than on the left side of the line.
It does, yeah.
Let's pick, is there another state that we can pick that's a more liberal kind of?
Florida.
Florida, that would be an interesting one, too. Florida. Let's do one in Florida. Who's the caller?
It's going to be John from Winter Park, Florida.
John from Winter Park, okay.
Not sure his political views.
Okay, his political views don't matter, and that's the point of this. It's their views about divisiveness. Their views about coming together that I'm focused on. Because I think both sides should start to feel that now, candidly. I think that should be a non-political point. Is it time to come together or not? It bothers me that the Republicans would have one opinion of that and the Democrats another, no matter what that is. That would bother me. Because that says in itself that we're not going to come together.
That's true, yeah.
We only come together if both sides start saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we haven't seen that, have we?
All right, this is John from Winter Park, Florida.
Hello, this is John.
John Taffer here.
John, how are you?
I'm doing great, John. How are you, buddy?
Very good, thank you.
So you're in Winter Park, Florida.
I am. You did a Zoom session with me in April for my students at Full Sail.
Ah, of course, John. Wonderful to talk with you, buddy. How are your students doing? That was something that meant very, very much to me. And for those who don't know this story, John, I guess maybe you could tell them the story if you like, but you reached out to me on social media, and you're a special ed teacher.
I did.
Would you tell the listeners the story? Because it's a great story, my friend.
I teach marketing at Full Sail, and I've been wanting to reach out to you for quite some time and thought that the way that you use influencers in your approach to Bar Rescue is just phenomenal. And I wanted to talk to you about that, but we ended up in the middle of the pandemic. And so we ended up talking about what location-based marketing would look like through in the new normal. And it turned out just great.
It was a fun talk. Did your students get something out of it?
Yes, they did.
Great.
It was just a very magical moment.
Well, you know, it was for me too. By the way, I love it when that happens, John. You know, and I hear from teachers, and sometimes they're special ed people, and you know, they're real challenge students and such. And it's always a wonderful opportunity to be able to help and touch students. So, thank you for calling, and thank you for giving me that opportunity, buddy. So,
you're welcome.
I want to change topics.
Go ahead.
I want to change topics.
I was just
going to
say.
No, you go. Go ahead.
The students that we were talking to, though, these were college students, so these were folks getting ready to go out into the world with their marketing degrees, digital marketing degrees, in fact, and set the world on fire. And you really charged them up.
Great. Well, hopefully this spring, with vaccines and everything else, they'll have some great opportunities out there for them. So, John, I want to change channels on you a little bit. I've been talking today about the opportunity to end political divisiveness post-election. And you know, it's interesting, and I'm not looking to have a political discussion. I'm looking to have more of a sociological discussion with you and saying that, let's say the election ends in the next day or so for a moment. And let's say that we don't have counts, arguments, and that it ends and it's trusted and it's truly over for both sides. Do you see this as an opportunity for divisiveness to end now? What do you sense?
I don't. I wish I did. The reason that I don't is that when you look at conflict, and that's what this is conflict, there's not agreement on what the vision should be. So there are really two camps. One camp that sees America one way, and another camp that sees it totally different. And until those issues are resolved, there'll be decisiveness. And the problem is the root cause is very deep. And we've had generations of a generation or so of students that they've come to view things now as adults with one set of glasses looking at America one way. And then there's another group that's looked at it totally different. I just don't see us getting to that point where the divisiveness ends.
Yeah, it's
not at this point.
Yeah, it's so many people are saying that too, John. You know, it's interesting when you look at the politics of it. If the Republicans take the Senate and the Democrats take the White House, it sort of prompts a bipartisanism as compared to, you know, both parties, one party controlling both houses. So I wonder if it works out that way and Biden steps in and reaches out and does some bipartisan work and maybe reaches out to the other side if there's that opportunity. I'm just concerned that people are so skeptical because of these deep-rooted differences, and they are almost philosophical. Dare I say almost religious sometimes is the way people feel about them.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, on a personal note, I'm a father of a Leo. And I feared for my son's life if this doesn't turn out the right way.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the strength of emotions, they're very strong.
Yeah, they are. But what's sad to me is the strength of those emotions are too often pulling us apart rather than pulling us together. And you're right. The difference in vision makes us land on one side or the other. And everything seems to start from there today. So which side are you on? Then we'll see if we can be friends. Which side are you on? Then we'll see if we can. So it seems to be the first qualifier. Years ago, John, it was like the fifth or sixth qualifier. You know what I mean? It didn't judge whether we were friends or not, right? Whether we could go out to a movie or not. It didn't judge those things. Today it does.
No, I mean, there was one point in time when I think that we all shared a common vision. You know, there's a quote that always sticks in my head that politics is downhill from culture, and we really have different cultures.
Yeah,
there's subgroups of different cultures in the country, and their opinions are crystallized and they're bifurcated. They're very, very different.
So there's going to be a push from either side to push those ideals that either side believes in and to push the agendas that each side believe in for quite a while. And that's your view.
Well, you know, here's another way to look at it. That really, if you think about it in terms of again, conflict, you know, one of the things that happens in conflict is that solutions are found that are collaborative. If you're not doing collaborative work, then you're either accommodating the other side or just totally submitting. And if we don't find a way for true collaboration, then as we accommodate and as we submit, those feelings, it's like a gunny sack. You know, you keep putting stuff in the gunny sack and eventually it explodes.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. And I'll let the listeners in on something that nobody knows. My new book, the title of it is The Power of Conflict. And we're just finishing the publishing deal on it now, but it's my third book. Last one was a New York Times bestseller. And it's all about the power of conflict, John, and the fact that from conflict comes resolution and consensus and new ideas, and people disagree. And from disagreements, you know, all wonderful things bubble to the top when we have meaningful, constructive disagreements. And, you know, we look
conflict at... conflict can be wonderful.
No company will grow without conflict. No person grows without conflict, or opening up to new views. So when we, as a society, stop each other from speaking up on our own views, and, you know, you're scared to have conflict with me, I'm scared to have conflict with you. At the end of the day, John, we're throwing our values away. We're throwing away what is so important to us because we refuse to engage in constructive conflict with the other side. And then it becomes, you know, you're an ass, you're this. It becomes personal rather than, of course, about the issues or the, you know, the true point of the conflict. And
yes.
I'm concerned that the world of political correctness is causing people, even in divisiveness, when we're all beating the hell out of each other, I still think political correctness prevents many people from putting forth many ideas that should be at least considered, debated, or shot down. But when the ideas don't come out in the first place, when the discussions don't happen in the first place, I think we all lose. And I know you agree with that, buddy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Until you call the current state what it is and identify and speak truth to power, you can't move forward.
I agree. John, thank you, buddy. It was wonderful to hear your thoughts. Nice to talk again. Please send my best to all your students and stay safe.
John, thank you very much, and I will.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, Corey. You know, so this is a senior marketing professor at a great university who had a deep marketing executive analytical kind of view. And it's fascinating because Dan had a view, you know, that affected his lifestyle and had a very positive view of going back to, you know, this is the chance to end it. I'm really feeling pretty good. Chris doesn't trust. You know, he's just scared about the future and his fear is causing him to sort of cross his arms and put up a wall and he ain't going to listen to the other side for quite a while. Sherry wasn't like hard about it like Chris was, but she's been wounded by this and she doesn't trust either. So she's not quick to open her heart to the other side either. Mm-hmm. I get it. So she's keeping her gates closed, so to speak.
Right.
And then you go to John. And John is a deep thinker, marketing executive, and he got to the essence of it. And the essence of it is we have two different visions for America, these two sides. One is more entrepreneurial, more independent, more self-accountable. The other is more one for all for one, more socialistic in view. I'm not being negative or positive to either side. I'm just laying out in very general broad strokes the big differences between the sides. And it isn't quick, as we've seen in this election, Corey, that one's going to jump to one side or the other. When a company has two visions of leadership, one of them has to go. Company can't operate that way. When a marriage has two visions, the wife wants to do this with her life, the husband wants to do that with his life, that's not going to work, is it?
No.
And if you had a different vision for producing my show and my brand and everything than I did, would this work?
No.
So what the hell do we do?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to cut the country in half. Are we going to have a civil war one day? I don't believe so. I'm not suggesting that. But where do we go from here? If the views are so different and they're different visions of America, then what we need more than ever is a president who can lead from the middle and move both sides to a middle position that gives both sides a little dignity, a little of this, a little of that. The only way this is going to work is by some type of a consensus, some type of a middle point. So here we are, side one, side two. I don't see anybody in the middle right now. Do you, Corey?
I don't, yeah.
So if our president, whoever it is, if it's Trump and he says, you know what, I've been reelected, I'm never running for another campaign again, I'm going to try to pull us together. Man, that would be wonderful. If Biden comes in and the first thing he says is, I want to talk to the other side. I want to pull, and if he does that, I think that's unbelievable because until we get some people in the middle column, we are screwed. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be one of those people who is the voice of reason in the middle. And maybe there's an opportunity for all of us to find that middle. So I'm not suggesting give up our ideals, but can you move from the right to the middle column a little bit or from the left to the middle column a little bit? Is there a way to do that? That's something to think about with the election over and all the politics going on. And I will be right back.
Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
righty, I am back. And if you don't know that, I'm John Taffer. This is the John Taffer Podcast, and I'd love to hear from you. So starting next week, we've made this even easier for you. All you got to do is dial 877-4-TAFFER. Pretty cool?
That's pretty cool.
877, the number 4, TAFFER. And you'll get connected to our studio. Leave a voicemail. If you call, sometimes Corey actually answers the call. Mm-hmm. We are really eager to talk to you and involve you in our podcast. Your opinions do matter very much to me and I think to our listeners. So if you'd like to connect by email, you can do so by sending an email to podcast@johntaffer.com. That's podcast@johntaffer.com. Interesting discussions today, Corey.
It was.
And it's interesting how everybody had a view. Was John a good guy? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Was Sherry a good person? Sounded that way to me. Was Chris a decent guy? I thought so. Was Dan a good guy? I thought so. Four good people with families and homes and jobs and four good people living their lives with sort of very different opinions. And that's really the thing that makes America so special. But your opinion means nothing if you don't at least listen to the opinions of others. How do you make your opinion better if you don't listen to others?
Right.
How do we get more knowledge in our head if we don't listen to others? You know, look at a guy like Joe Biden, who's been in politics for 47 years. The man has changed his mind several times during his 47 years, and he should have. Why, things have changed. So imagine if Joe Biden never listened to anybody else's opinion for 47 years. His opinions wouldn't have grown, wouldn't have evolved, wouldn't have changed. So discussion is good, conflict is good, and we shouldn't be scared of it, but we've got to figure out a way to turn divisiveness into conversation. Okay, well, this was a great podcast, a lot of fun. I'll talk to you guys all next week. If you haven't subscribed now, tell your friends. If you want to add any lines in the comment lines, I read them all the time. I love to hear from you guys. So again, podcast@johntaffer.com or 877-4-TAFFER. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Subscribe to the John Taffer Podcast right now for more episodes every Thursday.